Let us turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to look just at the 20th verse. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. I want you to go on your way tonight with the words of this text in your heart. There is cause to rejoice. There is cause to celebrate. The night of Christ's birth was a time for celebration. The angels rejoiced and sang praises to the God of glory. And the shepherds, those humble shepherds, unnamed and unknown to all but those who loved them and worked alongside them, those humble shepherds also gave praise to the Lord. I want to leave you this evening with three reasons why the shepherds rejoiced, three reasons why we should rejoice. The first of those reasons is the revelation of God's glory. That revelation took a tangible form for the shepherds in the manifestation of the angels. As we hear those words, hark, the herald angels sing. As we hear the words that Mary and Carolyn were just singing, I think of how difficult it is for us to appreciate what that must have been like. Those shepherds out on that dark hillside, suddenly surrounded by light brighter than the light of day, and hearing the voice of beings who came from heaven. It was the revelation of God's glory in that sense. But also they could rejoice because there had been a revelation of God's glory in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ultimate revelation of God to people. If you want to know God, you must come to Christ. We can rejoice because God's glory has been revealed. Not only in the angels, not only in the Lord Himself, but in the written scriptures of truth. The shepherds could rejoice because that Bible, the only Bible they had, the Hebrew scriptures, they saw it demonstrated again to be the infallible Word of the living God. This is a reason to rejoice and to give praise because we have not been left to our own opinions. But they had another reason to rejoice, and that was the incarnation of God's Son. They were told that unto them had been born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the Son of God, the eternal life, as we considered last Lord's Day, was manifested. The Son of God, the one who had existed from eternity, the one who had no beginning and would have no ending, the one, as we heard this evening, who was rich beyond all measure. That one became poor. That one became a man. That one appeared as a servant in this world. Without that appearance, we would have no hope of escaping the judgment of God. The incarnation of God's Son. When they heard that news, and they went and saw the child just as the angel had described the child, they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the manger just as the angel had said. They couldn't help but make known abroad the saying that God's Son has come. God's Son has been manifested. The one promised for thousands of years has now appeared, and we have seen Him with our own eyes. That was cause for them to rejoice. And that message comes down to us tonight through the ages. There is cause for us to praise God, cause for us to rejoice, because God's Son has become incarnate. The eternal Son of God taking to Himself a true humanity. So becoming then and continuing forevermore God and man in two distinct natures, but one glorious person. This is cause to rejoice. That tonight, as Stephen saw before he was martyred, and as Saul of Tarsus saw while he was drawing near to Damascus on a mission of persecution and rage, they saw that there is one born to a human mother who is standing now in glory, who is at God's right hand, and who assures us that as He has gone there, as He has taken our humanity and has exalted it to the Father's right hand, so all of His people too will come there, and in their flesh they shall look upon Him as Stephen and Saul looked upon Him. This is a reason for rejoicing. Not much wonder then that the shepherds returned to their sheep, glorifying and praising God for what they had seen and what they had heard. But there was one other reason for rejoicing: the application of God's gospel. For what was it the angel said? Unto you is born a Savior. Here is the good news. God has not left sinners to their own devices. He has not left them universally to perish. He has sent the Savior. And He commands in the face of that all men everywhere repent and believe upon Him. And the measure of the depravity of the human heart tonight is that there are still people by the millions, yea, by the billions, who have refused to repent and to believe on Christ. The message of the gospel is central to the message of Christ's birth. You cannot deal with Christ's birth properly and truthfully without dealing with the message of the gospel. He was born to save. He came, His very name means to save His people from their sins. The Apostle Paul said that He came into the world to save sinners. And tonight, if you trust in Christ, you have cause to rejoice. Because when Jesus was born as a Savior, He was born as a Savior for you. He came to save you. And if you do not know Christ tonight, then here is cause for you to rejoice as well. The way of salvation is open tonight. You can come and you can know beyond any doubt that Christ is your Savior, that He is your Savior now, and that He is your Savior forever. Oh, tonight then, let us follow the example of the shepherds. Let us rejoice. Let us give glory to God and praise Him for all the things that we have heard and seen.